Hello, 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 all you wonderful people. Welcome or welcome back to season two of the Sustainability Podcast. This is Pratiksha, and as always, I'm with my co-host Pratik.
Hi, Pratiksha. Hi, everyone. So first things first, the Sustainability 101 podcast is here to help you explore both the joy and benefits of sustainable living. The podcast highlights how the youth are interested in taking initiatives for bringing about the sustainability revolution with information and insights from the world's most inspiring change makers. And if you haven't heard yet, we have got the most exciting news ever. We now have a website, guys. Yes, you heard it right.
Yeah, we know you guys have been waiting for it. And so don't forget to check it out. It has links to every episode, informative blogs, and tons of fun stuff. Go on to www.sustainability101podcast.com and get ready to be dazzled.
Isn't that amazing? So many things just at one place. And in order to check out all the episodes, our lovely team, and about our exciting journey, please do visit. Check the description to find the link of the website. So Pratiksha, let's start. Are you ready to introduce our guest?
Of course. Today's guest is a super spontaneous and passionate. He's worked in environmental policy making for many years. He has master's degree in forest management from IIFM India and has worked in Kolkata, Delhi, Madhya Pradesh. He even recently completed a PG diploma in environmental law and policy from National Law University, Delhi.
He's published a large number of case studies and blogs over the past few years and conducted a climate change trend analysis of all districts in Madhya Pradesh, India for the last 100 years. He currently works as a program officer for South Asia at the Climate Group, where he is supporting the cause of sub-national change by publishing their stories.
He was even chosen for an Antarctic expedition organized by the 2041 Foundation to learn about climate change impact and leadership. He was chosen out of 80 people from different parts of the world. That's incredible, right? We are so excited to see him go off in November and for everything he does next. Please welcome Rana Pujari.
Yay. Welcome, Rana. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And really, thanks a lot for reaching out to me and contacting me. It's my honor to have a conversation with you. Thanks for the lovely introduction.
Yeah. Your achievements are quite formidable and we are thoroughly inspired by that.
I mean, look at your stellar industrial experience as well as the academic experience. This is amazing. So, wow, why don't we start with our ritual, our questions?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, Rana, the amount of things which you have done is really fantastic. We see that you started your education in engineering, which made you make the switch to sustainability. So, do you think your base in technology has helped you advance through your career?
It's actually basically a childhood thing. I just wanted to share a brief background of where I'm from. From where did this feeling of working in the sustainability and climate change sector crept in me? So first of all, so I belong to a suburban town in the suburban area of Kolkata, and I have grown up seeing the changing landscape in that area. So it's a small town, but it had a lot of greenery, it had a lot of water bodies, ponds, but as the years passed by, the numbers of water bodies and the green cover started dwindling because of obviously infrastructure growth in the region. So it pained me a lot. So this feeling was right there from the childhood, but I was not sure on how to go ahead with this feeling and how to actually make a career out of it. So, but I also loved biology a lot. So life sciences, biology. I thought of doing a biotechnology because it will be an engineering, right? So it was a 4-year course, which will give me an opportunity to foray into the career of engineering coupled with life sciences, biotechnology, etc. Then I did work for a couple of years after my bachelor's, but then that feeling of working for the environment and climate change was still there. And it was still kind of a burning inside within me on how can I put light to this to this fire, and how can I ignite that passion within me to work for the environment and natural resource management, etc. Then I came to know about this master's, which the Indian Institute of Forest Management provides, which is a kind of a very, very, very interesting master's. It's an MBA with a focus on three areas. One is development management, which deals with rural management. The other specialization was wildlife management, and the third was environmental management. So it's a sectoral MBA, and one of its kind MBA, which is being provided by which only IFM provides in, I think, in Asia. So yeah, the tech bit, the engineering really provided me with a like solid platform on building my own like my soft and presentation skills. I was from a small town, then I landed up in Delhi. In that crowd, in that it was a complete kind of a culture shock for me, but I gradually learned to keep up with that, and that helped me a lot in building my confidence, my presentation skills. And obviously in engineering, you know, you read a lot of stuff, you read a lot of subjects, and like it can, like the engineering bit actually helped build my personality altogether. I was a very shy person, very introvert. I didn't used to interact with much people, but that Delhi and that culture, that atmosphere really provided me with that opportunity to open up. But yeah, not the tech bit, it did not contribute much on technical side, but yeah, on personal growth, it was a life-changing experience for me.
Wow. It's so crazy. Or thank you so much for sharing about IIFM. I was not knowing that. I mean, I think neither of us knew about it.
Yeah, but actually, haan, mujhe bhi kuch pata. Matlab, before doing my master's, I was like, IIFM ke baare mein mujhe bhi kuch pata nahi tha. So this is really great. You gave me a thorough introduction about what they do in their college time. Like IIFM, mujhe pata tha ki bahut acha hai after doing my master's, but pehle mujhe kuch pata nahi tha uske baare mein.
So IIFM ke baare mein, I just wanted to say a couple of lines more about IIFM. So it's a center of excellence of the Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climate Change of the Government of India. So it's a kind of it's not a private institute. It's a government backed institution. It's not a very it's not a private MBA college. So that's why maybe there is a huge there's a great scope for all of us, for our alumni, for us the alumni, and the professors actually to go out and talk about the organization, because bahut kam log jante hain IIFM ke bare mein, because it being a sectoral college, bahut kam log interested rehte hain to work in rural development, environment, climate change. To pehla to sabse bada challenge rehta ki we get a lot, like the demand from aspirants is very less to work in these sectors. And secondly, visibility badhane ke liye, to increase, to promote the college needs to do a lot. Maybe that's why very less people know about this college, but it has huge potential. It's lovely. It has a lovely campus. It has a huge potential in churning out climate and society and socially conscious people from the college, because we have courses on rural development, public policy, natural resource development, management. So it builds it gives us a huge, a holistic overview and understanding of of different aspects of society, including environment, climate change. So was a great opportunity for me to land up in IIFM.
Good. Thank you for sharing this information. And honestly, awareness about such courses and that university is really must nowadays.
So move on to the next question. You work for the Department of Environment in Madhya Pradesh. That's really great. And are there any project you pursued there that you would like to do on a nationwide scale?
I have worked on a couple of projects, but as far as I can remember, I was part of a project where we supported or built the knowledge capacity of the state government departments. So I worked very closely with the Forest Department in Madhya Pradesh, and we used to actually organize workshops and knowledge dissemination events to these departments, land departments in the state, on understanding the impacts of climate change in their own sectors. So there's a huge opportunity for this kind of work to get scaled up at the national level. So because there is a huge serious knowledge gap, I think, among the state departments and the officials who are working at the ground level with respect to climate change and what is this subject all about and how is it impacting their sectors and daily lives. So I think there's a huge knowledge gap with respect to this among the state departments. A few states are really for like spearheading climate actions. They are really taking leadership roles on climate action, but most of the states really lack this capacity. So this kind of work can be scaled up at the national level. We do have projects, but at the national level, but these are project based and time bound. After the project ends, everything ends. So there should be like a constant knowledge enhancement effort from the national level for the state governments. I think this can be done at the national level. And also I did a project on district in the Department of Environment, where we did district-wise climate change trend analysis, like district-wise analysis of how the climate has changed in the past 100 years. This can also be done or replicated to other states. I think most of the states are doing, but yeah, this can be done like on a constant basis to know the change.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I feel like those kinds of workshops would be so useful for so many people.
Yeah, and we would love to see this happen and continue at a national level in India.
Yeah.
So moving on, what advice would you like to give, Rana, to someone who is interested in sustainability consulting?
I have a very brief experience on consulting, to be very frank. Like I have worked with Zintio. Yeah. So after I worked with the funding agency, I worked with an organization, which is a Norwegian management consulting, where I worked with I think around less than 2 years. But that gave me a very good exposure of the business side of climate change and sustainability in India. So as far as my understanding is concerned, I think the three key things that I would like to suggest to people who are trying to foray into the sustainability space. First is reading. I think reading and gaining knowledge about the subject prior to foraying into the sector is very important, because so climate change and environment is a very dynamic sector, as you might know. Everything is changing on a daily basis or a monthly basis. So you need to keep yourself updated on a constant basis with respect to knowledge and understanding. Same goes with sustainability consulting as well. So reading, one can pursue a certification on sustainability consulting or do a short-term course on sustainability consulting. Like for example, ESG is a talk of the town. I think it's a sought after subject these days. A lot of people are doing ESG courses on ESG. ESG stands for environmental, social, and corporate governance. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a person can do such short-term courses. Mm-hmm. Second, apart from knowledge enhancement, I think reaching out to people and establishing contacts is very important in this sector, in consulting mainly. So building your network and staying in touch with people or the who's on who of the sector, I think really helps in actually building your own perspective about the space. And also, yeah, obviously to know what is going on in the sector, because everything is not there available online or in public domain. Third, being ready for a rigorous work life. I think consulting, as far as I've heard and I've experienced, it's a very rigorous space. So one needs to be very, at times it's very strenuous, long working hours. So yeah, but yeah, at the end of the day, the money that comes along is mostly rewarding. So it's very interesting, and simultaneously it's challenging also. It at times affects your work-life balance, but yeah, but that comes with a rewarding experience also at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So these will be my advice, yeah, to people who are trying to foray into overall, I mean, in general, consulting space.
Awesome. That's a very good advice, and especially about increasing your knowledge and network at the same time. And it is so important in environmental field as well as in every other field, I can say that, right?
Yeah, and the advice he gave just now, that you have to connect with more people, you have to connect with alumni, what they are doing, and that's how you grow in this field. I realized that just now. Next question. What is the most interesting thing you discovered while working in this field?
Yeah, about the most interesting thing, I mean, there are a lot of interesting things, but the most interesting thing that I can right away remember is, I think it's a very dynamic field. And it throws up a lot of challenges when it comes to keeping yourself, like keeping pace with the changing environment, changing like the knowledge that is available in the sector about this whole space, climate change and environment. And there are a lot of sectors which are getting impacted by climate change, agriculture, ho gaya, industry, ho gaya, water sector, forestry, etc. Climate change is impacting all of us on a day-to-day basis. And so like keeping pace with this knowledge is the most interesting thing, which actually drives people who are in this space to continuously upgrade themselves with respect to knowledge. We do a lot of reading, we do a lot of publication. And the other interesting bit is the publication. On publications, I would like to quickly talk about, like, while writing, we also come to know a lot of things which we usually don't come to know during our day-to-day work. So the publication bit also is a very interesting part, which we do a lot of writing, blogs, articles, papers, etc. So that is also gives us an opportunity to be empathetic to our audience as well, because jiske liye hum likh rahe hain, what do they like, how will they understand? Because climate change at times becomes a bit technical, a lot of technical, there are a lot of jargons in this space that we keep on using. So we need to be very empathetic, we need to be very simple in our articulation. That's the other interesting thing.
Yeah, and I know publication part is really hard. When I wrote my research thesis, like for college, we have to submit a PhD, postgraduation student has to submit a final year project. And that time I was like, who write this whole thing on some project or do research on simple thing like algae or something like that, and you have to write extensive report on that how much carbon they, like whatever the project is, there are so many jargons and there are so many new terms you have to get into it and learn those. It's really traumatizing for me, and I hope
I was just gonna say that I can also empathize with that, because it's just like a one word topic and you have to come up with so much of it, like content for that. You have to read all the research papers or the journals and then select the best content, and that to write in your own words so that it doesn't count as plagiarism. I'm doing that. I did that in my bachelor's, and I'm also doing it in my master's. So kind of gotten used to it.
And also we need to be very aware of what others are writing. Because in space, there are a lot of organizations. Like there's a huge crowd out there who are working on climate change, environment and sustainability. So we also need to be, and we all are actually, the other interesting part is that we are all trying to address the same challenge. Yet, we need to be unique in our writing. What new can we bring in our writing? What new perspective can we provide to our audience, to our, like, for example, policymakers, etc.? So that bit is also a bit challenging. Yeah. And then, we need to be very aware of what we are writing. Plagiarism, etc. It does come into play at times.
Correct.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize how much of a creative process it is, right? And it's not just technical. There's so much that comes before it.
Correct.
Moving ahead, we would like to congratulate you on getting selected to be one of the 80 global participants for the Antarctic expedition in November this year. What an amazing achievement. Must have been surreal, right?
It will be a tough expedition. I mean, as you all know, Antarctica is in the south, is in the South Pole. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and getting selected. So to be very frank, getting selected was not that tough.
Okay.
So just to quickly give you a quick background on how I came to know about it. So one of my seniors from college actually did make it to this expedition. She went to the Arctic. And so every year they... they go either to Arctic or the Antarctic. So I came to know about her experience. She went, I think, 3 years ago. So I was really very inspired by her experience, and the kind of work she is doing after coming back is really amazing. She's working on awareness generation, which is working on using sustainable products, etc., in the state of Odisha. So I keep on like getting inspired from her. Then I came to know about the process from her on how to apply to this. Then I applied to, so it was an online application which I filled up in December last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were a couple of online rounds. Like I had to share a bit of writing with them on why I want to go, what are my plans of coming back, how am I going to give back my learning or share back my learnings with the society. So these all, like I had to answer these questions. Then there was an interview round. So after the interview, I got selected in the first week of February this year. So the selection bit was very easy. They particularly see on how passionate you are about this whole space and what are you going to do. So on the basis of that, people get selected. But the most challenging part I would like to highlight is the cost, I think. So we all need to raise our own cost for this
expedition.
Yeah.
Self-funded expedition. So currently I'm actually on the road to raising my own funds. Becoming very difficult because of COVID. So let's see how it shapes up in the next few months.
We would really love to do that for you, because we can put up on our Instagram page or on our sustainability podcast website for that, because it's a good thing to do. And I think like it's such a relief that the selection process sounds so easy, but yes, I'm sure the cost is a lot, and I didn't realize it was self-funded. And if you really want our help, we can.
Yeah,
we are extremely grateful for that.
Yeah, because
thank you.
Like, do send your fundraising details, because last time when Farah Stack was here also, she also mentioned about the fundraising thing that helps to cut down your carbon emissions for traveling to this trip. So we would love to help you as much as you can. And thank you for telling us how it went. Good luck, and we're really excited for you.
Thank you for this, providing an opportunity to actually promote my work through you. So thanks a lot. I mean, really very grateful to you.
Yeah,
we all are like really proud of you. So why not?
Yeah.
Let's see. Hopefully I'm able to raise my funds. I think it all depends on that fund now, the cost. Yeah. So, and in the fundraising part in itself is an interesting journey. I think like beyond that 12-day voyage from Argentina that we are going to start to the South Pole and then coming back, I think this whole journey of fundraising of 8 to 9 months is in itself is a huge awareness generation initiative. I think I'm reaching out to so many people, corporates, individuals, families, friends, my professors, my college, my everybody. Jitne logon ko main janta hu, I'm reaching out in my network. So this in itself is a huge awareness generation program, I think, campaign. Rather than that, I think that expedition is okay, fine. We will go, come back. But this 8-9 months is more important, I think, from an environment point of view, an awareness generation point of view.
Yes, no doubt. And in the end, it's a good way for people to know about this. And I'm sure you'll be very fine. Once we reach closer to November, you'll be all set and ready to go.
Yeah.
Hopefully COVID doesn't play a spoiled sport. Let's see.
Okay, so Prateek, ask him next question. I feel
okay. So also, Rana, just because we know that you're a huge fan of old Bollywood and Ghazal music, so could you tell us, our listeners, some of your favorite artists?
Yeah, so actually music is in my family. So my grandfather used to sing, like not professionally, not formally, but he had a very good voice that I always come to know from my parents. So so my grandfather had a good voice, my uncle had a good voice, has a good voice, my younger uncle. My father also sings. So like music, and we follow a lot of music in my in our home. So it was it's a childhood thing. And then I started liking Hindi music right from my childhood. So I have been following like people like Mohammad Rafi Sahab, Kishore Da, and everybody like R.D. Burman, S.D. Burman, the musicians, I mean, these music directors, and particularly Hindi Bollywood music. Yeah, I'm really a big fan of that. Not the newer ones, not the fast, not the rock ones, not the, no, I'm not a great fan of hard music, hard rock or loud
yeah.
music. I like soothing, I like melodious songs with which has some meaning. So I like Mohammad Rafi. Like Mohammad Rafi is like, he's at the top. And Kishore Da really comes very, very, like he's at a very close second. And I also like ghazals. Definitely Jagjit Singh goes without saying. I also follow Mehndi Hassan, Ghulam Ali. And there are a lot of other ghazal singers, Ghulam Mustafa Khan, etc. So I keep on following. I do follow these people on a regular basis. Like keep hearing them whenever I'm a bit, like whenever I have time. So it also depends on my mood, but definitely I like music is a huge stress buster and a huge, it really boosts my mood whenever I'm feeling low. So yeah, music has a huge place in my life. And I also try to I also try to sing and I try to record. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a great singer, but I like singing, and then like singing really helps me.
Sure. Thank you so much for answering those questions with so much care and enthusiasm. We are waiting to see what you do next. Now let's have some more fun. How about a game?
Yes. Yeah. Let's play. It's game time now. Let's play the one word game. So Rana, you have to tell us the first word that comes to your mind when you think of the following words, which we'll say. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first word is Kolkata.
Oh my God, city of joy.
Roots.
Rajasthan.
Government.
Don't know. Corruption.
That's amazing. The next.
So Pratiksha, your turn now.
Yeah. Environmental policy.
Environmental policy, strong tool to safeguard the interests of everybody on earth, including animals and human beings. I think, yeah.
Amazing. Leadership. Pratik, what comes to your mind when you heard this?
It's like a mandatory skill in everyone.
And for you, Rana?
Leadership se mujhe lagta hai, empathetic.
Okay. And the last one would be vacation.
A vacation should not end.
That was a good one. And those answers were great. Do we have time for another game, Pratik?
Yeah, I think we do.
Okay. So how about icebreakers? Rana, this way our audience can get to know you even better. So let me ask you this question. If you could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, music album, which would it be?
I'm sure this is a hard one for you because you listen to so many artists, right? So picking one of them. Take your time.
It won't be an album. It will be an album with multiple artists, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, the artists which I like. For example, I mentioned about Jagjit Singh, Mohammad Rafi, Kishore Kumar. So it will be a mixed list of artists.
Yeah, so more like a playlist.
Yeah, playlist.
That's what you're trying to imply.
Album which should have a caption of melodious, soft, soothing, melodious music.
Okay, that's a good way to answer this question. The next question would be, what is one sustainable thing you do every day?
Do not waste food. I try not to waste food. And every day on a daily basis, I'm not a great fan of consumerism. So I think the two biggest enemy of my life is population growth and consumerism. Mujhe lagta hai agar in dono cheez ko address kar dete ho, dunya ki 99% problem solve ho jayega. So on consumerism, I think I try to use my products, like the products which I use, as much as possible. For example, clothes that I'm wearing, the shoes that I'm wearing. It's not a day-to-day thing, but every day we use clothes, right?
Yeah.
So I try to minimize my needs And yeah, food wastage, I think. I don't like to waste food. So
cool.
Every day.
Yeah, that's really great. Thank you for being so specific in your answers. And we totally loved all of them, right?
Yeah. And last question from my side, I would love to ask you, which part of your job you enjoy most?
Engaging with people. As part of my job, I have to engage with like the government. I have to engage with civil society organizations, subject matter experts. So that engagement bit, particularly with the government people, I think that's very interesting. I come to know a lot of things on how government works, the challenges, the gaps, and the opportunities to work with the government on climate action and climate change. So this engagement part is really the most interesting part, apart from the several other activities that we do.
We get this a lot from our guests. Networking is so important, engaging people in good work. So I think that is a amazing place you are in right now. And I know when you network with as much as people or many people or different people, you get to learn different thing from each person. And I know how it is really enjoyable and interesting. Mm. So thank you so much for coming on our podcast today, Rana. It was amazing to talk to you. And yeah, Pradeep, go
ahead. We really appreciate guests who set examples for future change makers. And we hope you enjoyed yourself too, right? And now we ask this to every guest of ours, like this helps our listeners to, you know, dive straight into your personality. So are you ready for that, Rana?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any role models, especially someone who has been a motivation for you to be in the sustainable field?
Definitely. There are a couple of them, but the most important person for me will be a person named Jadav Paying. Jadav Paying is a person, I think he lives in Assam or Meghalaya, in one of those northeastern states. He hails from there. Jadav Paying is also known as the Forest Man of India. If people don't know here, I am very inspired by his work. He is known to plant thousands of acres of forest in his state. Individually, he alone has planted trees and has turned acres of arid land into green forests. So he has single-handedly spearheaded this work in his state. He has inspired me a lot. And one example that he gave in one of the workshops that I attended of him, where he spoke, was where he was trying to explain how deforestation is important and how is it a big challenge for us. Deforestation means cutting down a forest. So he gave an example of how deforestation helps in arresting water. So he gave an example of a bald head, where he said that if you pour water on a bald head, the water will flow down very quickly, right? And when you pour water on a head full of hair, some part of that water will stay back in your scalp. So it's such a simple example, yet such a strong example on how to explain the impact of deforestation. Similar thing happens when we cut down forest. Water flows down, and it, along with that, it takes away the topsoil. It's not good for rejuvenation of land.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jadav.
Wow.
Sorry, it was a bit
Thank
long.
Thank you so much for describing so briefly and why the reason to have this person as your motivation.
Yes, yeah. Yes. His example still resonates with me. I mean, I can still hear him when I talk about him.
So Rana, if you could go back to 10 years from now, what advice would you like to give to your younger self?
To not experiment much, have a goal, have something, have a meaning to your life that, yeah, I'll be working for this particular cause. I was a very confused kid till at least class 12th. So yeah, if I would like to go back, I would like to change this thing within me. And I wish I had that power of identifying that one area that would like to work. Like, for example, now I'm working for climate change environment. I would like to get that power in my younger age itself, so that I know what I'll be working for the rest of my life, and then start training myself from very early.
And can you explain more on why not to experiment in life? Or
see, experiment is good, but experiment in a particular field is okay. At a young age, right, you tend to do a lot of things, but at times that while doing that, you lose focus, and then it's not easy. It's a very ideal situation, right? When I say this, ki haan, pehle sab pata chal gaya, and then you start working on that. It's not an easy thing. It's the most difficult thing, I guess. And at a young age, you tend to find your way, right? And while doing that, you at times lose focus. Ki ye bhi kar lete hain, wo bhi kar lete hain. Let's do that. Let's try this. Let's try that. And then at the end of the day, you kind of don't become a jack of, like, you don't become a master of one, rather become jack of all trade. So today is the era of, like, I think experts are really valued. So I would love to, I wish I had this power of identifying that sector, that career for myself at a very young age. Experimenting is good, but if you identify a particular interest area, then experimenting within that area will be very rewarding rather than experimenting multiple career choices.
Yeah, that's a very interesting perspective. We meet a lot of people who have flipped their career path completely too. And so it's very interesting to hear a different side of it. And even myself, when I did BSc in biotech, and after that somebody just told me that, you know, in moment mein ye sab ho raha hai, and I thought, oh my god, no one is doing anything for that. And then I get into the MSc and I have a lot of knowledge right now, but I can't do it. Every day I feel like I'm not doing anything for environment. I'm still using that. Sometimes you still pick up that plastic thali from Sabjiwala, and you feel like, what should I do? Like, what? I know everything about the plastic, but still I couldn't figure it out. What should I do? So, I think what you are definitely saying is making sense to me too. And that is amazing.
Well, that's the other thing which I try to do on a daily basis, is not to use plastics.
Yeah.
Whenever I go out, I try to take a bag along with me so that I don't I don't end up using plastics.
So thank you so much for answering those questions. I mean, our listeners are surely gonna enjoy this conversation, and we really loved having you, and best of luck for all your future endeavors.
Yes, and best of luck from all of us at Sustainability 101 Podcast. And where can our listeners find you?
Okay, thank you everybody, first of all, Pratik, Pratikshan, and your team for this initiative. I'd like to congratulate you first. And great, I mean, I enjoyed this a lot. It's my first podcast, and I would love to do more. People can find me on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter. So I'm on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. So people can find me there. I'm not on Insta.
You can message him on LinkedIn. He is always that enthusiastic that he will reply to you. And you can ask him career question or whatever you feel like. And thank you so much again. This interview was awesome. Make sure to check Rana's account, Rana's out, everyone. And don't forget to check out our website. And thank you so much, Rana. And until then, take care of yourself and wear a mask and sanitize well. Maintain safe distance. And Pradeep,
like we say every time, think sustainable and act responsible.
Bye.
Thank you, Rana. Bye, everyone. Bye.